I'm Mark Bayshore. Welcome back to our program. A few times a week, our next guest works hard to report on people in mid-Michigan who are arguably getting the short end of the stick. Judy Putnam's local advocacy column appears three or four times weekly in the Lansing State Journal, and Judy mixes her reformers' zeal with columns that underscore what's very right about life in the Lansing area as well. Judy Putnam, welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to open by asking you more about your reporting about the shooting death of Mullican teenager Devin Guilford by Eaton County Sergeant Jonathan Frost. This tragedy from last February began when the teenager flashed his brights, his high beams, at the police car driven by Sergeant Frost. Amazingly, it ended with the younger man's death after an encounter that just escalated gradually until it was completely out of control. You wrote of missed chances. How did this encounter go wrong, and what were those missed chances?
Well, it's a pretty incredible story, and people have insight. Just regular people will be able to watch this online, and many have, because the officer had a body camera, and the teen himself started recording a video on the cell phone. So we are getting a lot of insight as to the exchange, what led up to the tragedy that ended in this teenager's death. It just chilled me to the bone. It was a horrible tragedy. I've written about it twice. The points I've tried to make are more upstream. What could have been done to diffuse the situation? Why is flashing your lights a reason to even stop you when the officer knew that other people had thought he had his high beams on too? What if he had waited for backup? There were just so many missed chances initially to diffuse the situation, in my opinion. And also the teen really was out of line. He should have, told the officer he didn't have his driver's license or shown it to him. He didn't have it. So he should have fessed up and told the officer that. Instead, we just end with this horrible tragedy for everyone involved in a divided community. And last week, when the Eaton County Sheriff's
Department,
Office, thank you, the Eaton County Sheriff's Office released its internal investigation, it really said they weren't going to do anything else, that they would continue their training. They did say, I think they used the term re-emphasize taser training, because the taser was deployed too close to Guilford, the teen who died. But really, what I think people deserve to know, how this department was going to do everything in its power not to let something like this happen again. And I got some reasonable suggestions from people. How about handing out business cards? Because one of the issues was that Guilford asked the officer for his badge number, and the officer said, I don't have to show it to you. Well, the badge number isn't printed on his badge, so he didn't have to show it to him. But what if he had just said, here's my card? Here's my identity. Now, I think the sheriff's office would argue that the officer would have done it, except Guilford kept arguing with him. It's just a terrible tragedy. I would have liked to see something positive come out of it, like we're going to have retired officers come in and how to talk down people who are argumentative or, anything. But there was nothing in the internal investigation that I saw.
And Eaton County, for the record, we'll point out, Eaton County Prosecutor Doug Lloyd cleared Sergeant Frost of any wrongdoing back in June, saying the officer feared for his life. We'll clarify, Mr. Guilford apparently ended up on top of the officer and was hitting him. Some number of people have argued the young man, as you've alluded to, simply went too far and maybe even was looking for a fight. He refused to surrender his license or didn't have it or whatever, and the terrible communication, it would appear, at that incident. But what often gets people's attention is the number of shots fired. In this case, Sergeant Frost shot Devin Guilford 7 times. Did we ever learn why so many shots?
The prosecutor in June, stated that all of the shots were front entry wounds, so there were none in, shot in the back. and they were also all delivered while Devin was still living. So he wasn't shot after he died. And that's the insight that I've heard from that, Mark.
A lot of people who spend time in downtown Lansing are wondering about the Lansing City Market. You wrote that recently that the City Market's a pretty quiet place these days. What are people saying the City Market needs?
Well, more shoppers, more things to buy and more shoppers and more parking and more visibility would all be good. It's pretty clear that right now the Lansing City Market just isn't working. I dropped in on a Saturday and then a Friday around lunchtime, and you could count on one or two hands the number of people there. So the LEPFA, help me out here, the Lansing
Entertainment and Public Facilities Authority?
Yes.
I think that's right.
They say they have some new ideas, and they just hired a market manager. That job's been empty for a few months. And they have some new ideas. They've tried some Jazz on the Grand this summer and Food Truck Mondays. So they're trying, and they're also promising a new anchor coming in. But it seems like their vision is artisanal goods, like a high-end baker, for example, and some organic meat, and trying to get what would you call those, destination vendors, people coming for a vendor who would then shop at other places.
Mm. You've also referred to this. Apparently, you're hearing from some readers that returning to a more traditional farmer's market is, in some people's opinion, the way to go here.
Right. And that, I think people just love the whole local foods movement. They like buying food right from farmers who grew it. And the area has exploded with those kind of farmers markets. So back in, when I was reporting on this, I heard that back in 2004, there were like the City Market, the Meridian Farmers Market, and then the Allen Street Market came along. But now there are 26 farmers markets in our area. So is it saturated? Did the Lansing City Market miss that boat? I don't know.
I'll point out that a new business plan for the City Market just went to its board, and that Scott Keith, LEPFA's executive director, will be on this program this week. Scott oversees the City Market from his role at LEPFA. Another issue you reported on recently was that some number of people are getting dropped from or otherwise missing out on food assistance. Some residents in Okemos had their benefits cut drastically. What happened?
Well, you know, I was hearing from a resident out there, and these are folks who are on disability income, very low income people living in rental assistance apartment. It's a really complicated series of events, but basically it was a change at the federal level that eliminated the heat and eat option that Michigan was using to draw down additional food assistance. So Michigan would have had to pony up a lot more money. The estimates range from a couple million up to nearly 20 million to continue this heat and eat option, and they chose not to. So all these folks are getting cut, but they are not just getting cut a little. They're getting cut 90%. Their food stamps are plummeting from like $140, $150 a month to $16 a month. And they did not have the money to make up that difference. So the lady I talked to is eating chopped cabbage every night. So something didn't seem right when I heard the story over and over and over. And I contacted a public assistance attorney who works for the Michigan Poverty Law Program in Ann Arbor, and she said that it's really simple to get them back to their prior food assistance level by if they can show they have a home heating credit. I told you this was kind of overly complicated, but either people aren't telling their workers, or their workers aren't marking it down. The dots aren't being connected, and I think there may be a lot of people out there who qualify for this higher food assistance amount and aren't getting it.
But they just need to make clear that their paperwork reflects that they received the home heating credit, and then it, the other one pretty much follows along.
Yes, and so. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services has alerted their workers, and they have put out information on it. But I am hearing from people who took my story to their worker and to get it returned. Well, I heard from one person who did that. I don't want to exaggerate.
You write that the Snyder administration has worked to deny assistance to those people not in need,
right.
but that it needs to work as hard to make sure that those in need do get it. This is a flaw in the Snyder administration, in your view?
Well, I think it's pretty clear the Snyder administration has, worked to get rid of people on food assistance that they view as undeserving. And I would agree with some of those cases, like the $1 million lottery winner who still qualified for food assistance. But it's not a budget-saving item for the state of Michigan to reduce food assistance, since these are federal dollars. And so we've cut college students in Michigan under the Snyder administration, made it much harder for college students. We've instituted an asset test that that really is how much are your cars worth, what's in your bank account, and so forth. That is not required by the federal government. So it the Snyder administration really has cracked down on food assistance. So when I see these folks who are clearly unable to go out and get a job to make up the difference, and it's just a paperwork snafu, but they've gone without food for months, I got to raise that question. Mm.
How often after a story runs do you hear from the how often do you take a position on something, and then the story runs, and then you hear from the other side, and they point out something important to you that you've failed to take into account, or maybe underemphasized?
Yeah, that's happened. I'm a longtime reporter, used to reporting both sides, so I'm, a little savvy about making sure I understand the reaction that's going to happen. I know in one of the my first column on the Devin Guilford case that we were talking about earlier, I talked about the fight between the officer and the youth when Guilford attacked the officer as a scuffle. And I really heard about that right away from police types. And if you looked at the police officer's picture with the blood running down his face, they'd say, you would not call this a scuffle. Mm-hmm. This was a flat out, people were fighting for their lives. So I thought that was pretty legitimate criticism. We changed the word. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the beauty of having something online before it goes to print. You get that criticism right away. And
very interesting. Yeah.
And it went in print as fight as opposed to scuffle. It sounded like a scuffle, but when you saw the picture, I had to agree. I used the wrong word.
Well, it's been great having you in here. We had all kinds of other opportunities to talk about other columns where you really struck a chord here, but I'm afraid we're out of time. We want to thank Judy Putnam, who is local advocacy columnist for the Lansing State Journal. You'll see her column in the paper and online 3 or 4 times weekly. Nice
thank
to
you.
See you, Judy. Good
Thanks,
luck.
Thanks, Mark.